gossips in the everyday, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Jesus Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
Church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor David Ewers from Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. I'm excited about today, this afternoon, where we have the ability to speak and to teach the word of God in its simplicity, that you can learn and you can actually adopt and apply what you have been learning. We've been talking about teach me how to pray. Before we get started here, I just wanted to say that I appreciate you listening. And for those people that have been calling in and sowing into this ministry, we're thankful that, you know, this is a ministry that's strategically placed within this region to benefit this region. So if you don't have a home church that you are worshiping at right now, we definitely invite you to come and worship with us every Sunday at 10 a.m. And also we have a Bible study conference number every Thursday at 7 o'clock where you can join in and listen in on our Bible study. So we definitely encourage you to do that. Also, I want you to encourage you to sow and continue to sow into this ministry. We're still in the process of getting our own building. There's someone that's listening right now at the sound of my voice that has the means to sow into a ministry that is Christ-centered, that has a kingdom mindset, that wants to see changes happening in our community, and you have the means to do that. The next step is for you to just to be obedient to the voice of the Lord and just sow into this ministry, or call us and say, hey, here's what I can do. So call us at 561-383-6574. Once again, I'm so thankful for this opportunity, thankful to for the radio station that we have a slot where we can actually come in and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the best station that's going on right now. So we encourage you to tune in to 89.9. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we glorify your holy name. We exalt you. We lift you up and we magnify your holy name. What an extraordinary God you are. You're a God, Lord God, who operates in faith. You are a faith God. You are a God that calls things which be not as though they were. Father God, here are your people, Lord God. I pray and I lift them up unto you. I lift up this region to you, Father, that your grace, Lord God, and your peace and your unity, Lord God, will just rest upon this area. Father God, I speak and I release now, God, let there be a spirit of revival, Father God, that hits our schools, our public places. Father God, let there be just an authentic move of your presence, Father God, upon this area that we've been needing for. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight, my strength and my redeemer. Let utterance flow out of my mouth, Lord God, that I may speak correctly, but also specifically to those people that are hearing. We love you, we appreciate you, and we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ, and we pray. Well, as you know, we've been teaching on the fact of teach me how to pray. I believe it's important that God wants us to pray. As a matter of fact, he says when you pray. He didn't say ask if you pray. He says when you pray. So he wants us to pray. And it would be something if he asks us to pray, and on the other hand, he would not answer the prayer. So we know that he wants to answer the prayer. He wants the communication. He wants to build a relationship with us, to be able to communicate with us, but also to have that fellowship and to build a strong and a vibrant relationship with him. So in this, we see, for instance, like in Luke chapter 11, verses 1, where we saw where the disciples were watching Jesus as he was praying. And after he was finished praying, one of the disciples came to him and says, "Lord, you know what? Could you just teach me how to pray? Because I see that how, when you pray and after you get up from your praying, I see the results and what happened in your life. I see it, it's dynamic in your life." Just like what James said, James 5 says, that said, the word of God is quick and is powerful and sharper than the two-edged sword. But he also declared and said that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, accomplish much. So that's what I want to talk to you about. And today what we want to talk about is removing doubt. Because we know that God is a faith God. And in order for our prayers not to be hindered, we have to address the word doubt. And I believe that a lot of times the reason why we don't receive answers, we don't see the manifestations of the things that we've been praying for, is because doubt has been in the equation. Doubt has been in the equation. Now, first of all, I'm going to give you like two anchor scriptures, and then we're going to literally kind of spring from those scriptures. And the first scripture is taken from James chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. Well, we know a little bit about James. James is, when you look at the book of James, it speaks of, it's the, our Christian wisdom. It speaks of good works and speaks of pure religion. So when you look at James, there are two James in the Bible, but the one I'm talking about is was the brother of Jesus. And I believe that as he was writing this, we can kind of glean and extract some of the things that that he wanted to convey. Because think of it, he was Jesus' brother. He spent time in the same household, and he saw Jesus, and he saw him, how he handled himself. He saw when he was praying. He saw how he carried himself. And we see that James also was a praying man. I was looking up some research here, and talks about how James, that he spent so much time praying that his knees became so hard, like his calluses was like on a camel's, like a camel's knee. We see that it developed over a while. And we see that James was a very, he was a very industrious person. But also he was a just person. His surname was actually called The Just. And we looked, for instance, like in the book of James, and we see some of the things that's kind of popping out of us. Like, for instance, certain key verses that we see in James. Like, for instance, James chapter 1, verses 22. He says, not just to be hearers of the word of God. You know how you are hearing the word of God right now? But it says, not just be hearers of the word of God, but also be doers. Like, for instance, after you get this word, where do you go from here? How can I apply this word to my life? We see also, like in chapter 1, verses 25, where it talks about being doers of the word. In 2, verses 17, it says, faith is dead if it has no work. Faith without works is dead. We see also in this book of James where it talks about, like, for instance, in chapter 4, verses 3, it says, we ask and we do not receive because we ask amiss. In other words, that word comes from the word kakos, K-A-K-O-S, which means badly. We ask badly. We're not asking correctly. And the scripture goes on to say that that you may consume it on your own selfish pleasures and your lust. So the motive there in your prayers was wrong. So we don't get any answers because the motives was wrong. Why are you asking for this? Why do you need this thing that you're asking God for? And we also see concluded in the last chapter of James, chapter 5, verses 17, it talks about how it gives an example of Elijah. And it says, hey, we could be just like Elijah. That passion is just like Elijah. And it says that the earnest, meaning heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, and it's dynamic in his working. We see that same Elijah, catch this now, he prayed that there will be no rain for 3.5 years. Think about that. I mean, we go a year without rain, things would just be going haywire. But he prayed, and his prayer had so much power that it stopped rain for 3.5 years. So your prayer is powerful. You said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So this James that we're talking about now, let's look at, you know, James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Let's read it here. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, is there something that you may be lacking right now? Or you can put in that particular spot things that you may be lacking. It says, if any man that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him come to God. Let him pray, because God is our Heavenly Father, and He wants us to pray to Him. It goes on to say, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, it will be given to him. So he says, if you lack wisdom, you ask God. He's a willing God. He wants to give you willingly. But here's the catch now. In verse 6, it's very important. I want you to highlight this. Highlight in your Bible. It says, but let him ask in faith. Yes. He says, let him ask in faith. Why does he say, why do I have to ask in faith? Now, if you go back to, for instance, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, it gives a definition of faith. It says, faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. When you look at that word substance, it comes from the word hypostasis. It means a setting under, or it means a support. All right, so faith is the support. Faith is the substance. I can put my weight on it. I can trust it. Almost like you're sitting down on a chair. I can trust the legs of that chair that it will stand. So faith is that substance. It's that support. All right? A substance of things asked for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. Let's rewind again. Faith is the substance, the setting under of things asked for, and the evidence of things not seen. So we see here that when we look at, for instance, like words like hope, hope speaks of our expectation, and evidence speaks of our proof. So when we go back to James now, it says, but let him ask in faith without doubting, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. For let him not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Don't even think that you're going to get anything from the Lord if you are asking in doubt. I mean, that becomes very, very important, because a lot of times when we pray, we in our mind or in our spirit, we're saying, I wonder if this is really going to come to pass this time. I'm not sure. Maybe. Maybe sometimes in the future it will come to pass. And not realizing that there's an element of doubt that's in that prayer, which now aborts that prayer. So now let's go back to verse 6 again. It says, Pastor, why you keep going back to the same scriptures over and over? Because I want you to get this. I really do love you guys. Now, look at it again. It says, but let him ask in faith. Let's stop there for a second before we get into doubt. Now, when we look at faith, we define faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We also see in Hebrews chapter 6, 11, verses 6, what it says, without faith, that word faith comes from the word pistis. Without pistis, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe. So when we come to God, we must come in a mode of believing. When we're praying to God, it must be in a mode of believing, not doubting. All right. So he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, in the Bible, it makes it very clear. I mean, Jesus said, actually, the word of God declares, it says, four times it says that the just shall live by faith. I believe it's only in Habakkuk when it says the just shall live by his faith. And you notice that throughout the Bible, it was the person's faith that had an impact on their lives. The woman with the issue of blood. The scripture says, your faith made you whole. And it says, be it done unto you according to your faith. And time again, where we see is that that person's faith is what pulled the answers from God. The woman with the issue of blood pulled the answers out of God, and she was healed. Now, it's important to understand that if God says that we should pray in faith, how do we get faith? I'm glad you asked that question. In Romans chapter 10, verses 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me say that again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I was looking at, for instance, the same chapter and verse in the Amplified text. And it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the lips of Jesus Christ. Now, that's very important that you catch that they use the actual word Christ there. Because Christ comes from the word Christos, where you get the word Messiah. Messiah. It means the anointed one and his anointing. So when we look at this word Christ, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word or the lips of Christ, the anointing. So when you look at that closely, what he's saying is that faith really comes by hearing, and hearing an anointed word of God. In other words, you capture and you get God's voice directly from him. And we know that it is the anointing of that voice that enables you to know for sure that this is what God says. And in turn, it strengthens your faith. If you know something comes directly from God and says, God, I can take that to the bank. What that does, it fortifies and it strengthens your faith. All right? Now, let's look at the rest of this here now. Let's go back to James. James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8, it says, he is a double-minded man. Hold on one second here. What do you mean by double-minded? That word double-minded comes from the word dipsychos. Dipsychos, which means two-spirited. A two-spirited individual. What do I mean by that? You mean you're vacillating between two opinions. All right? The D-I speaks of twice, and the psychic speaks of breath or spirit. So two-spirited. So a two-spirited man, one day is up, one day is down. Not sure exactly what's going to come out of his mouth. It's unstable in all his ways. So that's the first anchor scripture. Let's look at the second anchor scripture, which is taken from Mark. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Let me go ahead and read it here. It says, have the faith of God. In other words, have the God kind of faith. So God is saying, have the God kind of faith. 23 says, for verily, absolutely, assuredly, I say unto you that whosoever, so it's speaking to you now, whosoever says, say unto this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says, he will have whatsoever he says. 24, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. Now, just kind of take a rewind a little bit. What was happening prior to this? We see when Jesus, he came to a tree, he came to a fig tree, and he was looking for figs on the tree. He did not see any figs. And in turn, now Jesus now spoke to the tree. And in response, he says, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the disciples heard when he said that to the fig tree. Now, the following day, when they were walking by in the morning, they saw the fig tree dried up from the where? Yes, from the roots. Peter, you know, Peter means faith. Faith is always going to speak up and identify. He says, remember, he says, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you have cursed was withered away. Now, we understand that when Jesus operated here on the earth, he was actually given an example of how we should operate, because he said, you see what I do? Greater works shall you do also. So now he was telling the disciple, you see what I did to this fig tree? You are able to do to your fig tree, or whatever that fig tree is, or whatever that mountain is. So he says, disciples, here, you are able to now, you see that fig tree? Also look at this mountain over the yonder. You can also say unto that mountain, you mean that mountain, sir? Yes, that mountain. You can say unto that mountain, be removed, be pulled up, and be thou thrust through the air and be cast into the sea. That enormous, with enormous force. And if you do not doubt in your heart, that's the part I want you to catch, dear. Do not doubt in your heart. So doubt sometimes would reside in our heart, and we have to remove doubt. He says, you could do that to that mountain, and you could do that to that fig tree. You can speak to different things, like how I spoke to different things. What are some of the things that Jesus spoke to? He spoke to a storm. He spoke to Dorian. Yes, he spoke to Dorian. He spoke to Dorian, the hurricane Dorian. He also spoke to fever. We saw he spoke to Lazarus, and they responded, a dead corpse responding. Yes. And Jesus says, the same way I can speak to things, you can speak to things. And he says, Pastor, really? Yeah. You go in your backyard and you look at your flowers and you speak to them. And he says, hey, you're looking so good today. Don't you think that they're hearing you? They're full of life. He said, Pastor, you're stretching it now. All right. You stay right there. Stay right there. Now, look at this now. We see here that in this scripture, it says, we can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou what? Yes. Cast into the sea if we do not doubt in our heart. So doubt seems to be that thorn or that thing that is just always there inside our prayer, and we have to now extract it. All right. Now, if we look at this word doubt, let's define this word doubt. There are several words that describe doubt, and I believe I defined it last week, but I'm going to go over it again so you'll get it sink into you. The first word, it's a Greek word for doubt, is aporio, aporio. Now, in the Greek, when you look at the word aporio, the A, when it's put before a word, the A means without. Like, for instance, you have pistis. Pistis means faith. But without faith means apistis. In this word, in this particular text, we have aporio, which means without. A means without, and the poros, which comes from perio, means a way or a transit. When you put those two together, it means to be without a way. So the first example or the first definition of doubt is aporio, which means to be without a way. You're perplexed, you're distressed. Just like when the disciples came to the tomb and they said, where is hit with Jesus' body? And they were perplexed and they were in distress. The second word is diakrino. Diakrino. Now, this word diakrino, it means to stagger. It means to waver. It means to make no distinction or lacking in faith. And we see in Romans chapter 4 when Abraham used this word, he said that he staggered not at the promises of God, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So we see here that this word diakrino, it means to stagger, it means to waver, it means to fluctuate between two opinions. The third word is distazo, distazo. It means, this means double. Stop dissing me, man. This means double. And stasis means standing. So when you put those together, this tazo, it means a double standing. Or not sure or uncertain of which way to take. And I gave an example last week of Peter. When he was stepping out of the boat, he saw Jesus. Jesus says, come. He stepped out of the boat and was walking towards Jesus. He kept his eye on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. But the moment that he came to a standstill is where he began to start looking at the other road. He saw the storm. He saw that the fact that I could drown. Has everyone ever walked on water before? I am doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing. Look at the storm. It's looking kind of strong there. And now he broke his focus of looking at Jesus, which signifies the word, and now is at a standstill. He's not sure or uncertain which way to take. Distazo. That's what doubt is. You're not sure which way to take. You're praying, I'm not sure if I'm going to get my answers. All right? We saw also in the book of Numbers where we see an example of faith And we see also an example of doubt. We see, like, for instance, in Numbers chapter 13, we see when the Lord came to Moses, and Moses was talking to Moses, says, hey, I'm going to send you out a spy. I want them to spy out the land. I want them to come back with a good report. When they came back, we saw two came back with good report, and 10 came back with an evil report, doubt. And we see when they came back, the 10 that came back, and they begin to start saying, hey, I saw a land with milk and honey, but guess what? Nevertheless, I saw some people in that land that are stronger, they are packed, and they could take us out. And the people heard that, and they were moved. But Caleb says, hey, no, we saw the same thing, but we can take them. As a matter of fact, let's go now, let's take this land. There were two distinct, they both experienced the same thing, but faith was in Caleb, all right? And we see that doubt was in the other 10. So guess what? The people were affected. They begin to start weeping and begin to start saying it's better for us to go back into Egypt. You see how doubt kind of is almost like it builds momentum. It starts from weeping to start saying, let's go back to Egypt. Now they're looking at Moses and says, Moses, I don't think we need you as a leader anymore. As a matter of fact, I think we should stone you. Then God says, hold up. He had to step in. So we see here that doubt, when doubt is in the question, the scripture says in Hebrews that they could not go into their promise because doubt was there. So it's very important that we have to address doubt. Well, my time has come to an end. It went so quickly. I know we were absorbing so much, but I told you that you should come in alignment with us and also say, hey, I want to partner with you to bring and to expand this ministry and to be a blessing to this ministry. My prayer is that you would pray and that no doubt will be in your prayer, but you will have a prayer that is of faith. And a prayer of faith avail it much. May God richly bless you is my prayer. And I declare the blessings of the Lord, which make it rich and adds no sorrow to come upon you. I speak, Lord, that you may become like Ephraim and Manasseh. And I declare shalom, peace, irene of God. Rest upon you and your household. Rest upon every ear that is hearing the word of the living God. Rest upon every pastor. Pastor, be encouraged. Continue to walk in the word of the Lord. Parent, be encouraged. I encourage you in the name of the Lord, and I love you. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Call us at 561-383-6574. May God richly bless you is my prayer. God bless.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574. 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Healton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, inviting you to join me each week on Saturday at 12 noon to our program, Raising the Standard. I will be raising the standard of biblical interpretation regarding Rosh Hashanah and the Messianic Kingdom to come with a Jewish Messianic perspective. Tune in and allow the Spirit of Prophecy to touch and change your life.
Thank you.